Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Voicemails. Recorded on a Tuesday, coming out a Wednesday. Voicemails. You and us today.
Welcome to Talking Yanks voicemail show. I am BBD. That
is Joe
McFly. And we are every week listening to your voicemails, and you can leave one at 908-845-5792. We're recording this on a Tuesday because Wednesday, as this comes out, Joe's, you are going to Baltimore, going to watch these Yankees play game three of a four-game set in Baltimore. If you are in Baltimore as well, Pants Kevin, and you'll know which one Kevin is.
Yes, because he's not the one that's in the camera. Guys, this is the only show on our network that listens to you. And we love that. We love to be a part of that. If you do want to reach out to us, 908-845-5792. Us and you. You and us. Yes. We got Grappler in the Grappler's Corner.
That's good. That was a beautiful intro, by the way, Joe.
No problem. Got to make sure we intro you all the time. We got some voicemails today.
We what?
Anything interesting, Scooby?
Plenty. Want to get started?
Yes, let's do it.
There we go.
What's up, lad? I think a huge problem this year we've all seen is hitting with runners in scoring position. I think when the middle of that lineup goes, we go. It's not even a Soto and Judge thing. It's more of a potentially Stanton, Verdugo, Rizzo thing. Anyways, go Yanks. Peace.
All right. What did he have a first part of that voicemail? That was the whole thing.
I think he just wants to talk about Yanks with runners in scoring position.
Yes, Yanks with runners in scoring position. It is a bit of an issue. I think a lot of it has to do with maybe 6/9 of the lineup probably wasn't hitting for a good amount of the first month. Judge wasn't hitting as well, so that all affects it. But I hate to make clear distinctions about the team yet when it comes to numbers, and that comes to the team, that comes to players or anything like that, until Memorial Day. I feel like after Memorial Day, you kind
of... That's enough of a sample to you'll know.
And you'll be like, what kind of team I got? Or if somebody was struggling, like you could look by Memorial Day and Judge could get his numbers to a respectable place. And you'd be like, okay, well, that's Judge. And you won't be thinking about that, or he'll be trending in the right direction. So, I mean, it's kind of hard. Runners in scoring position numbers, I almost feel like they're always bad because every team is, that's like the hardest time probably to score, maybe, from what I heard. It sounds weird. But
That's one of those things that, so the caller's alleging that the Yankees are bad with runners in scoring position. Is that what I'm getting?
That's what here?
The Yankees, this is one of those things that every year, every fan base kind of believes they're bad at this. They think they hit into the most double plays. Yankees do.
Yankees definitely do.
They think their team can't hit with runners in scoring position and all that. I'm looking at the Yankees number, the ranking of teams with runners in scoring position.
Right.
Let me see if just an OPS number is nicer. It's not, so I'm going to use WRC plus, which is more all-encompassing offensive statistic. For those at home who aren't familiar, 100 is average. Every point above 100 is how much above average you are.
Right.
So, for example, 111 would be 11% better than average. So, with runners in scoring position, where do you think the Yankees rank in all of MLB and WRC plus?
I feel like they're about average. I feel like they're about like 102. Are they at 102?
At least on the split I'm looking at on Fangraphs right now, the Yankees are fourth in baseball 140 WRC wow. plus with runners in scoring position.
I think that 15-run games probably did a lot of.
They're probably doing a lot of heavy lifting. They're seventh in average. They're sixth in OPS in those spots. So again, you pick your metric, and the Yankees could be better or worse, depending on what exactly you like. But the Yankees are looking like they're pretty good in those situations. Like their strikeout rate is pretty low with runners in scoring position. They're the third lowest strikeout rate with runners in scoring position. They're getting the ball in play.
Right.
Doesn't mean it's the greatest contact in the world.
A lot. Like yesterday's. Well. The first game against the Orioles, there was a lot of like BABIP situation happening there, which is like the batting average of ball in play. It's just sometimes you just run into bad luck. And I feel like the Yankees, and I hate to throw it up there as bad luck, but the Yankees hit the ball in places where expected batting averages were a little higher than normal and they didn't get a hit or a run in. So I feel like if you watch the games, you'll see, but...
Yeah, and like anecdotally, there's days the Yankees, it feels like, or will like get guys on and not drive them in, or even more so, I guess, the days that the offense has been shut down. They've been shut out five times in April.
Yes.
Those days, I think the issue is more just not getting enough guys on, period. So I don't know how much those days are necessarily hurting their runners in scoring position numbers. As today's Yankee lineup comes out.
Came out?
Aaron Judge is in left field again.
Nice.
It's nice.
But leave it to Verdugo to force the Yankees to do that.
Yeah. But runners in scoring position.
Yeah. Do you have concerns about the Yankees being shut out five times in their first 29 games?
It's not fun.
30 games, sorry.
It's not fun. It's the other games you're doing.
11 of the losses, out of the 11 losses, five were shut out.
I'm going to look at some game logs and figure out, because it doesn't feel like it's been like just awesome starters having awesome performances against them.
I'll say this, man. Like, and I heard this. I was driving in, and I heard this on WFAN about people. They were like really harping on the shut out five times, and it's. I look at it like this, like, bro. A loss is a loss, man. Like, I don't care if you're getting shut out, or I don't care if you lost and you scored 10 runs, like. To be honest, ugly wins are better than pretty losses. And I don't care for losing pretty. I don't want to lose at all. So,
yeah, I guess I wouldn't be, you know, if they had scored one run in each of those games, I don't think it changed. I don't think my outlook on the team is any different.
Right. Like, are we really, like, are people really looking like on a 19 and 11 team, right? You get a 19 win month is a good month in baseball, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You get 19 wins. I don't know if I can complain too much yet.
Overall, and you know, it's obviously the exact path to getting here has been weird and isn't without anything you could complain about. But
right.
19-11, hopefully 20-11 by the time you're listening to this.
Yes.
Like
21 months.
Can't please. Argue with the results. You know, until 5 days ago, Aaron Judge hadn't really done anything. Rizzo looked like was having a bad time.
Right.
Austin Wells was having the worst time. Glaber was having an awful time. They're all doing like fine in their last week. Even Glaber's showing signs of life.
Yes.
He's got a fine enough last six games number.
Yeah.
So like how he got here is weird. Not the most fun. Too many shutouts and days where it feels like the offense is more famine than feast. But
yes.
19-11 is 19-11.
19-11.
They're pitching. The pitching stuff is all real. There's days that the offense does look as dynamic as we would have hoped. So it's not like we never see the good.
Yeah.
If we were never seeing the good and we have these days where we just get shut down, like we hadn't had days where the offense just really clicks, I'd be like worried.
Yeah.
Because then I'd be saying the offense isn't good.
Right.
All right. Well, B, that was a great segue, because a lot of our next calls are about the players you just mentioned, starting with Austin Wells.
Mm.
Yanks. All right, real quick. Austin Wells was a hater early on, wasn't a big fan, but now that April's almost over, looking at his numbers and just seeing how he's grinding out at bats, I think we got a pretty decent guy behind the plate coming up. I think this guy's going to hit well. Defense a little shoddy, but I like how he draws out at bats and just hits the ball hard. Just super unlucky. Mm. Big fan of Austin Wells, jumping on the train. Also love Volpe.
Good.
I love those guys too. I root for the players on our team.
Yes, as do I. Listen, I think he's the unluckiest player on the team. I mean, he hit a hit. He had a hit yesterday. Went to right field. It landed. He was actually happy at
normal
first.
Hit.
And Giancarlo made it into a fielder's choice. I mean, that is crazy. You don't ever see that, but you know, when things are going bad for him, they took away his hit. When things are going bad, they made you run the bases. So, you know, when things are going bad for you, they're kind of going bad, and that kind of sucks. Like, he's right now the BABIP whipping boy right now, it feels like.
Especially his first couple weeks of the season, that it felt like he was putting together good at-bats, just hits weren't really falling in there. But the at-bats look good. The contact quality was pretty good. He's had a few warning track balls. But then you look down and he was on April 23rd batting 086. Because then he had like another week where he actually did look bad and uncomfortable. And that sucked. But since April 17th. So that's in the middle of the Toronto series. I think this is the split I want. He is batting .263, .440 on base, .368 a slug. We'd like a little more than that, but he's got two doubles in that time. That's his last seven games, an .808 OPS. He's reached base safely in all seven of those games. I'm also he mentioned Austin Wells. His uniform number?
Yeah.
28. Switched from 80.
Okay. I'm glad. Because if he had one of those high numbers and his batting average is getting close to his number, I mean, if he gets to 28.
I mean, he got close. He was 88 and he got beneath it. On his defense, which a caller mentioned in passing.
Right.
I think he's doing exactly what the Yankees want on the defensive end. Both catchers, I'd like to see throw guys out better. That's more fun.
I would love that. I think his stuff is a mechanical thing, though.
But you want to hear something fun? They're both framing the shit out of the ball.
I feel like that's going to get out of...
It's going to work its way out of baseball, and the Yankees are pretty all in on it, but that's what they want out of their catchers right now, and it makes sense. They're, especially at the bottom of the zone, Austin Wells and Trevi both grayed out very well as framers, which makes sense. The one knee down stance is like four framing the balls at the bottom there.
Mm-hmm.
But currently in catcher framing runs, Austin Wells is number one in baseball.
Nice.
Jose Trevino is number two.
Awesome. That's great.
So
it's funny because
technically five guys are tied for number one, and they're two of them. But
it's a skill
that doesn't slump.
You're right, and it's also a skill that I feel like in a couple of years won't matter.
There's a chance in 2 years we're gonna be like, okay. That means you may need to learn to throw guys out a little better or be a better blocker. But right. I think the Yankees have such an emphasis on their catchers framing
that the fact that they're this high up
on the list, like those two are number one and number two on the defensive end. I think the Yankees are very happy with what they're getting.
Yankees always focus on things that are phasing. I remember when they focused on only right-handed batters because of what happened in 2019. And then, they could go the other way. And then the balls were juiced. The
balls were juiced. So baseball, guys who could poke it the other way. Yeah, they really went.
And no more shift.
No more shifts.
Let's get some lefties. All right. Anyway,
the lefties are here now.
Lefties are here now. So then that's good. It's a new time.
But yeah, I like Wellesley. He's putting together a productive last 2 weeks or so.
Yeah.
You know, splitting time with Trevi, who's also hitting. So I'm happy with both of those guys right now. And by all accounts, the pitchers like throwing to both of them.
Okay.
So I'm cool with where they're at.
Awesome.
Cool. That leads us right into another lefty we can touch on, Alex Verdugo.
Nice.
I like his play.
Hey, guys, love the show. I just wanted to ask you guys what your thoughts are on how big of a player Verdugo is in that locker room. He seems like he is like the life and soul of the Yankees this year. He's always amping guys up, getting guys going. Can't help but notice, I mean, we got 15 runs, two games straight. We go into Baltimore and get shut out with Doogie on paternity leave. Is he the main guy? Is he the guy that's amping everybody up and bringing everybody together? Love to hear more about it from Booney. Thank you. Bye. Mm.
Well, I don't know what Boone's going to say about that, but he is an energy guy, and he is a guy that is, you know, he kind of brings that whole, you know, like, let's play, like, this attitude that the Yankees were missing, which is dope. So I like that. Is that why they got shut out yesterday? No, because there were four of the times that he was in the lineup and they got shut out as well.
Yeah. I suppose, like, having him and not him in there.
I prefer to have him.
Yeah. I'm sure him being there would have helped.
I honestly think that the Yankees got shut out yesterday due to bad luck. Like, there were a couple of innings, and I'm like, okay. And
they could have gotten the one run.
Who? Grayson? Grayson Rodriguez was pitching? He wasn't, like, particularly, like, good. I mean, he got the Yankees out, yes, but he was throwing a bunch of balls, and when the Yankees hit it, they hit it right at people, bro. They made some good plays, too. Like, balls that were hit in the outfield as well, and I hate to talk about this because the ballpark's the ballpark. And I don't
both teams are playing.
Right. Everybody has to deal with dimensions. They just do. And I don't know if hitters do adjust their swings according to the ballpark that they're in. I don't know. I mean, they probably, I don't know if you should or shouldn't.
Some guys probably can, some guys probably can't.
Right. But there were a lot of them that were like, damn, outfielders were able to get to certain balls that they probably wouldn't have, that could have been double somewhere else or whatever it is. And that's just what it is. It's just baseball, bro. You just chalk it up. It happens at 162. Like, but back to Verdugo, man. Like, I love what he brings. I love the flavor that he brings to the team. How about that? The Yankees needed some seasoning as well. And Soto brings some flavor too. But everybody needs to bring something to the pot. And he's there chefing too.
The Yankees had like nothing like that the last couple years. They had no energy guys like
this
that.
And
he and Soto, both being new to the team, have added a lot of that. And like baseball player wise, he is not only, he's so good and fills such a need for what they had, especially compared to what they were missing last year in left field specifically. Being a guy that really doesn't strike out, really doesn't swing and miss much, can drive the ball, does drive the ball.
He leads the league, right? And like not striking out?
He's up there. I don't know.
I've seen him as number one.
At least, like, but I can find something on that. And then the left field play has been very good. We did a whole conversation on yesterday's Talking Yanks. Where, like, compared to what the Yankees have had, the defense in left field is so refreshing. And another lefty bat.
Which you're the best left fielder I've had since Brett Gardner.
But that's real.
That's real.
He's been awesome. I'm trying to look into... He is tied with Luis Arraez for the lowest K rate.
Yep.
At 8.3%. Jung Hoo Lee is third.
We just put him as number one in the American League.
Number one in the AL, yes. And looking at pure strikeout number among qualified hitters, he is tied for the least in both the AL and
that's kind of like that stuff plays in the playoffs. That's when you see it really like come into fruition.
And that's the shit that's like when we talk about balance in a lineup and diversity, like having a guy that doesn't strike out much in between. You know, your Stantons, your Judges, having all that in there. Obviously, Soto, also a guy that doesn't strike out much.
Right.
Rizzo strikes out a little more now as he's gotten a little older. Like, having a guy like that who doesn't swing and miss much and doesn't.
That's probably why him batting fourth is great, because he breaks up the strikeouts a little bit.
Yes, and it feels Like, obviously, he doesn't have, like, the traditional four-hole pop.
Yeah.
But sort of similar to Didi, who batted, like, third and fourth a lot. And,
he did.
And those teams, like, he ain't going to strike out a lot. He'll get the ball in play. Yep. Breaks up some righties. He can aim for that short porch and punish you. I really like him in that spot. Yeah. And now that they've done
it. I didn't even think about it.
It wasn't on my list of options. I liked him towards the bottom, and I figured if anything, a weird set of circumstances could get him to one spot. But
yeah.
I love him fourth.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't expect to love it that quickly, and we got great results.
You can break up double plays that way. Like, he's not, well, in the sense of, like, you're not, you know, you can move some action along. He can find some holes. You know, he'll get, you know, the ball into the outfield. He can have some productive at-bats at the four hole. So I like that a lot. Credit to Boone.
Yeah.
People won't talk about that enough.
Yeah, it's a good move. I like that. Now that they've done it, it keep with it. It's one of those things that's like, well, will they do that to Rizzo, who's been, he'd gotten a little hotter before the move down, but then he had a really nice time in the six hole. So it's cool. And Boone told us today, like, yeah, and when he's back for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whenever he's back for paternity leave, like, he'll be back to the four hole.
Mm.
There's not going to be funny business there.
Okay.
So I'm excited to see some more of that.
Love that. Nice.
Great. So one more player you mentioned that a caller wants you to touch on is Glaber.
Wagwan, my brothers.
Wagwan!
It's Randall from Kingston. Just want to let you know one thing. Why is it that we are so against Glaber at the moment? 2019 Glaber in the playoffs, we were loving him. 2020, good run too. And now he's in a little struggle, pick it up past two games. But I think the Yankees, the fans, should give him a standing ovation. What do you think? They did that in Philadelphia for Trey Turner. Good talking, guys. Stay safe.
Let's go. My brother from Kingston. Let's go.
Mm.
Listen, I think what's going on with Glaber, and again, I mentioned Memorial Day as my day, like, where I look at, like, you know, what I'm going to, how I'm going to judge somebody's season, like the trajectory of their season.
You straight up having a bad season.
Right. I think a lot of things with Glaber was he was trying to do too much at the leadoff spot too. He was trying to do too much. He was looking at a lot of pitches for some time. If you remember, he was like, he was observing a lot. He wasn't getting any results. And then he got after chasing results after he started, you know, you start looking up at the scoreboard after a while. And he was like, ah, man, I'm not producing. I got to produce, contract year, all of this stuff. I want to remain a Yankee. I want to do all of these things. Sometimes you put that extra added pressure on yourself. And then it's like, yo, bah, just take it easy. You know what I mean? Like, you're good. Don't worry about it. Just let your ability play. And I feel like when he could calm down, and I seen him, it was this weekend, BBD, Saturday's game, when he got that bases clearing double, it felt like a weight lifted off of him. Feel me? Like, yes. I felt so happy for him in that moment because it looked like, okay, now I can breathe. Then he made a nice play up the middle where he threw across his body. You know, you're not trying to, like, compound the issue with other things. So I need him to start playing free and easy. When Glaber's playing free and easy and having fun, I feel like he lets his ability play. Yeah. So,
like we alluded to before, he is, like, slowly but surely coming out of this a little bit. I have the numbers for his last six games.
Let's do it.
He's 10 for 28, which is a .357 batting average. Nice. No walks. I'd like him to mix one of those.
Love
in.
Walks.
And so let's mix a couple of those in. .429 slug because he's hit a couple doubles. Again, he'd like a little more. But on the whole, it's a .786 OPS. Like, he is, over his last week of games, doing enough. Obviously we know there's more in there for Glaber and I want that for him to get paid.
Right.
But what we are getting from him right now, this past week, which is, you know, obviously the two A's games are the two A's games, but he did his job there, but he did these against Milwaukee and he got two hits against Gray Rod and the O's, last night. So those are real opponents to hit off of. I don't remember who he got the A's hits off of, but like I think he's going to be okay. I'm excited for him to be fully going because when Glaber's in a good spot, he's very fun.
Right. And don't even chase the homers right now, Pablo. Just let your game play.
Yeah. Like, go for the doubles. I'd love for him to get the one so it's just not in his head right. anymore. Because then they'll come.
Right.
Like he's Glaber. He'll hit his homers. But I know he's like seeing the zero there, and it's in his head.
Yeah, probably.
So I would love for that to become a one and be out of his brain for a little bit. But that's life.
Yes, that is life.
You'll get there.
That is life.
He's hitting right now. I'm fine with what we're getting from Glaber.
Got a hit last night or two nights ago.
Two hits last night. He's had multiple hits in his last three games and four of his last five games.
Yeah.
So the Glaber's fine right now.
Keep getting him.
Keep going.
I think you should give him a standing O in Baltimore tomorrow.
I'll cheer for him. I mean, I'll definitely cheer for him. I'll be over there wearing my Yankee stuff. It's going to be really hot tomorrow, too. It's going to be
tomorrow's a hot one.
87 degrees over there. So I'll be wearing my Yankees shorts along with my Yankee jersey in Baltimore. So I will be cheering him.
Seven for his last 15.
Let's go. I like that.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yes. Seven for your last 15. Pop, you're close to 500. That's good. Let's go.
All right, moving on to the next.
Yes.
Yo, it's the New York Yankee Dad. I just wanted to give you guys a call. I'm concerned, I don't know about you guys, with the bullpen usage. I know it's early in the season, but the bullpen usage has been, interesting to say the least. That, you know, they've been used a lot. And also, one quick thought, I would like to see maybe a trade or an acquisition for a reliever like Justin Lawrence. Have a good one, guys.
Whoa. Well, trades before, I mean, Cashman's already said it. He said trades before the draft are like almost impossible.
They're hard. Almost. They happen, but.
They happen, but not the big trades. Not like for a really good player that you may want, because one, they want all the people in there and they, you know, people start setting up their teams. Justin Lawrence from Colorado, the pitcher, is currently struggling. A bit.
The numbers on the year don't look good. I know there might be more in that tank. He's not a guy I know a ton about, but I'm sure at some point they will trade for a reliever. It looks like he's just got twice this year, and the rest of the way has been pretty clean, including his last five.
Yanks have strikeouts. So 10 strikeouts and so, 9 2/3, more than a strikeout or inning.
Yeah, he'd be a perfectly reasonable target. I do think they will trade for a reliever of substance by the deadline. But overall, it's just like the bullpen.
Yeah.
The bullpen's the bullpen. Clay's been good. The rest have been more spotty. And I know some people are never going to be like just good with Clay. But I like Clay, and he's been more than good enough most of this season. The first, like, he was tired by the end of that Houston series. He looked a little shaky, but he's been really good.
Right.
And then the rest of the bullpen, just nobody really has any roles. Guys just go when they're available, basically.
Another week in voicemails, we still don't know people's roles yet.
We still really don't know.
We'll see how long it goes. Ian Hamilton,
I guess, will...
Will slot as the next trusted reliever?
Like, I guess he remains in the trust tree, but he had just been hit around a little bit. But maybe that extra day off in Milwaukee, because we know he wasn't available in the extra inning game now. Maybe that did him some favors, and we'll be on the right path with him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know what else to say about the bullpen right now. It's just... We're still trying to figure out that circle of trust, like for Boone or who else is going to be the guy getting us out. So there's people in the office here that were thinking that Weaver was a setup man. I don't know what's going on there. But Luis Hill later on will bolster that line, that pen as well.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right. We can talk about something more fun.
Yeah.
Some more fun. Future
it's all
Yankee baseball.
Okay.
Hey, guys. Just wondering, with Jason Dominguez on the heels of coming back and playing minor league games in a few weeks, ultimately, where do you see him fitting into the lineup? Who loses at bats? If he, you know, recreates the magic that we saw last year, how does he get involved and become a part of this team? Who loses time? Who does he take his place? Appreciate the feedback. Jake sucks.
Good point. Good point at the end there.
Huh. Well, I mean, I think the Yankees don't necessarily have to make a move. I mean, anything can happen between here and there.
Yeah, because right? that's still
a ways away.
He's not eligible till a month from now to be activated, let alone that. Like, right. I do think they'll probably slow play his rehab a bit. He plays a lot of AAA time anyway. So they might, right. if everybody's healthy and hitting like they kind of are right now among the outfielders, like I think they'd probably make the rehab stint go as long as possible.
The rehab games, do they count toward his service time?
He would be he's still on the major league injured list, so I think he'd be accruing service time while he's on a rehab assignment, and I think he'd have, I think after 30 days... They have to make a choice, and that could be the option.
Okay, it is. It starts a clock.
There's a clock there for how long you can be on a rehab assignment. I believe the number's 30 days, mm-hmm. and I believe there's like a chance they just option him at the end.
Mm.
If everybody's rolling, like if we are in this exact situation a month from now, Verdugo's back from paternity leave, and all these guys are going, like there aren't necessarily at bats for him,
right? And I doubt that the Yankees would want to bring the kid back after a year of injury to keep him on the bench. You want him to play every day,
especially since he played in AAA for a week,
right?
Like there could be benefits to him getting extra time there. I will assume that they'll activate him as soon as that he won't be optioned. I would assume he'll be activated and put on the MLB active roster when his rehab is done, but
so
he played 9 AAA games last year. Like a long rehab wouldn't do him some favors.
Let's take the caller's question and kind of bring it up. Let's just say he's killing down there. I'm talking about he's destroying pitching. It's to the point where it's like, man, there's no reason why we need to put this kid in AAA. He is destroying AAA pitchers left and right every night. He's nasty. And you have to make a decision. You're like, I got to bring him up. So what happens then? Obviously, I'm going to prioritize defense in the outfield, so I'll put him in center.
Probably.
Judge will then move to right, I think.
If we're doing our best outfield defensive lineup.
And then Soto would then be what, your DH?
I would assume so. You're not going to not play Juan Soto.
And his defense has been good this year.
I would assume.
But you could alternate DH days. It's just Giancarlo, in that scenario, it seems like Giancarlo's the one that's losing playing time.
It seems like as currently constructed, Giancarlo would lose some playing time.
Did you hear the theory about Giancarlo?
That he might be the third baseman of the future?
No. That he's basically like kind of like 3 players on a roster. In the sense of, like, since he can't run, he's a guy you have to pinch hit for. He's not playing defense. So he's not helping you out there. You have to carry an extra bench piece. And the Yankees didn't have a certain backup infielder because they kind of can't do that. The roster's more rigid because of it. I love Giancarlo, but it is true that because of his lack of playing the field – and not having the athletic ability and all of that
being
stuff.
Being one of the guys that you would pinch run for in a big moment.
Right.
I like the thought process there. He's like, he's responsible for like
Like in one game, he could take up 3 roster spots, you know, if you think about it.
Especially if he, on a day he doesn't start, they will like try to pinch hit him.
Right.
For somebody.
Yeah.
I would assume that he'd be the one losing time if Dominguez came back and was starting and all of that. And it's unfair, kind of unfair to G. He's been straight up just like good.
He's playing well so far, but I mean, if he's not, unless he picks up a first baseman's mitt, but he doesn't look like athletic enough to do it. And
to learn it, to learn it. I can't assume he's going to do that during this season.
Right.
Maybe he comes into spring next year ready to take a couple grounders, but
I don't know. It's tough, and I hope it's a problem that Boone has to deal with. How about that?
Yeah, a good problem to have.
Would be nice.
He had a 3-0 for stretch in the middle, but since his last 20 games, which is 18 starts, like a butter knife. So this is since the Toronto series. He's 20 for 72, which is a .278 batting average. He's walked 7 times for a .342 on base. He's slugging .542 and .884 OPS, 5 homers in that period. He's
productive. It's just
if 3 weeks ago you said these are what Stanton's numbers are going to be at the end of April, we're excited. If any time in spring training or this offseason you said these are what his numbers will be after April, would you take that? We would have all said yes instantly.
I think it's
884 OPS in his last 20 games.
Very good.
777
on the whole. People's problem is that the running. Like, I think the running is a bad optic.
The running's a bad optic, and what's really messed up is he does look noticeably better at running than last year, and it's still just a really bad look. But it is better. It is better this year.
It is. We hope.
Whatever keeps you healthy. If you're gonna hit this well, hopefully better. A little better.
But guys, anything happens throughout the season. I mean, injuries happen. I mean,
we still have to get through another month.
Right. It's still
maybe Verdugo has another baby.
Huh?
Maybe Verdugo has another baby.
I mean, that would
open up some playing time. I don't know.
That would be
scandalous. I don't know what his schedule was like 8.5 months ago.
That would be scandalous.
I don't know.
I don't think he's that kind of guy.
Surprise.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It would be interesting to see.
Have to be G losing time, though. There's nothing else that makes sense.
To be honest, at this point, even if he's going crazy in the minor leagues, the Yankees would, if that was happening, and let's talk realistic Yankees, the Yankees would just leave him in the minor leagues.
Yeah, I think they'd say he played 8 games in AAA last year. He's rehabbing from an injury, from a major injury.
They'll bring him up in September.
We'll bring you up when there's an opening.
And then they'll deal with the lineup or whatever roster situation in October.
He would be on the postseason roster if there's a...
Probably starting, honestly. But
he'd potentially starting even if he weren't... There's a chance he could be... Like he could Stanton hits a double in the 6th inning.
Yeah, he's out.
They could pinch run Dominguez for him and like let him be the DH again. Like not worry about if Stanton gets his 4th at bat. That like could definitely happen. Yeah, come up playoff games. So I think a postseason roster tomorrow, Dominguez not tomorrow. He's not healthy yet. But in two months,
yes.
This team's healthy. Dominguez would be on a postseason roster. Like take the current team. He's on there over Trammell and Jamai Jones.
Right.
That's just the case. He'd be part of the mix, and I'm excited to see all that. I want to see him again. I don't want him to be optioned at the end of his rehab, but it's just we haven't talked about how possible that is.
Right.
I don't think we'll see Spencer Jones
this year.
No, but have you seen his numbers in AAA? Jake and I were looking this morning.
Gross. In AAA?
In triple or double A. He needs to go to AAA soon.
Yeah, he needs to go to AAA. But we won't see him this year. We'll see him next year. Oh, for sure.
Mm.
Yeah.
Whoa. Jose Abreu has been optioned to West Palm Beach to get some at-bats and his timing back right.
Wow. But you know what? Shout to him so that he had to accept that.
He had to agree to do that.
Good for him.
So, hey, he wants to get better.
Yes.
For those who don't know about where Spencer Jones's numbers are at, 348, 412, 586 slug. It's a 999 OPS in his first 11 AA games this year. So we could see him getting moved up to AAA pretty soon.
Good.
I would have to think.
Well, yeah, that was a great segment by you guys, and also a great problem for the Yankees to have, it sounds
yes.
like. But that looks like all the time we have, unless you have some closing thoughts that you want to share with the listeners.
Yanks, go ahead. I mean, win tonight's game and win tomorrow. Why not? You're out there in Baltimore. We're going to be out there. Why not?
Yeah, you'll be. So let's at least split this thing.
At least.
And from here, it's just a three-game set. Win two out of three.
I mean, you win two out of three or three out of three and win the series.
Yeah. And go Knicks.
Go Knicks. Go Knicks.
We already know what happened by the time this is out. Right. But
leave us voicemails. 908-845-5792. We love you. Goodbye.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.